Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Optimize My Life on the Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Ryan Clayton, and it is what we call normally a Tuesday travel show on the Hope Collection, the 501c3, nonprofit, founded by Joe and Artith Griffin over 10 years ago. The show that really is centered around the theme of helping others by helping them help others. The Hope Collection, in its expanse of reach to touch lives, uses 8 areas that we focus on. One is family, faith, housing, education, the arts, health and wellness, water and energy. And within those, we'll call them pillars, we've got our people, companies, programs, and connections to help and aid people. And in most instances, the membership is 100% free and there's no contract. Number two, the services are available either at minimal or no charge. And you can take advantage of being able to use those to touch lives. We talk about touching lives and focusing in on veterans and their extended families. And then you look at the other part of that is first responders and their extended families. Now, you add those two up. I just like to let you know that's like 1 + 1 = 2. It's everybody. And in reality, what we're telling people is that what we have a program that's completely involved in being inclusive. We're not looking to exclude anybody. So it really puts us in a unique position to touch lives in an extent nationwide. And we actually extend to other places around the world. So we want to welcome you today. As I mentioned earlier, it's Tuesday. We're into the second week of February already. The year is flying. Very, very good things are happening. We're excited about the brightness of what this year is going to bring. And I'll just share along the show here today some thoughts and highlights. But really what I'm going to do right now is I want to bring on and introduce a partner, a friend, a spiritual mentor, a guy that's got – right now I know he's beaming from ear to ear because this past weekend one of his son, and now he has a new daughter-in-law because him and Brenda married off his son, or they took off. They had a new flight, and Rick has been over in Arizona all week, and now he's back to be with us on the show today. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Ron. So good to be here. Yeah, this is just a great time. Great time. We married off our son in Phoenix, Arizona, this past Saturday, and we were in Phoenix from Thursday and just got back yesterday, and boy, a new journey begins for my son, his new bride, and for us, and someday we'll be grandparents. that's directly from Brenda.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well,
I'm like, no worries,
yeah.
No worries,
yeah,
take your time.
Well,
but yeah, it's good to be here.
Any highlights you want to share with us from the wedding? I love, people have been.
Well,
it was
awesome. Beautiful, beautiful in-laws. They're both doctors, and they had the wedding at the Wrigley Mansion in Phoenix, Arizona.
Whoa.
And the chewing gum guy.
Yeah,
from way back when, and just an elegant, extravagant wedding, and the bride looked so beautiful. Lauren looked just so beautiful, and they had quite a few people there, and the layout of it all was just it just pleased your heart, and it just looked so elegant, and the way they actually had a wedding planner, and I look at every wedding based on one of my favorite movies, Father of the Bride. It was with Steve Martin.
Yeah,
it was
the
Father of the Bride. It was a Father of the Bride like wedding. Basically the same thing, good to accept, you know, they actually had adults parking the cars. You know, I asked Trace, you know, are you going to have kids parking? You know, because he loves Father of the Bride just like myself. So you're going to have kids parking the cars? He said, no, we've got adults parking the cars. But the Wrigley Mansion is just a beautiful, beautiful location to have a wedding. And it was outdoors, and they had, man, 190 people plus attend. And So it was a pretty large wedding. And, of course, they had a chance after the ceremony to dance and eat a lot of food. They had some really great food, and, oh, man, it was just awesome. You know, one point, though, I tell you, the Wrigley Mansion has this long, I mean, stairs you walk down forever, you know. And so in the wedding, you know, Brenda and I and and Trace and his wife, of course, Trace walked the bride down, his daughter down, and then we got a stand-in to walk his wife down, Barbara. And you have to walk down these stairs, Ron. And I had to get out of my mind, okay, you're going to walk down every single stair. You're not going to look ahead. You're going to look down. Briefly in my mind, I'm like, okay, these are pretty long and shallow stairs here. Don't make a scene.
Because your son will kill you.
look down, take your time, you know, don't hurry. And so everyone made it down. The entire bridal party made it down. But it was such a beautiful, beautiful wedding and a beautiful family. And, you know, we went this past summer, June, they have a cabin out basically on a state park, you know, with like 300 acres on a state park and lake and everything. So Brenda and I, we actually met them out there in last June and just had a great time. And Brenda's not an outdoors girl, so she doesn't really like bugs and things like that and camping. But we had a great time, and it was beautiful. So we're sitting around at the end of the day at the cabin, campfire, s'mores, and Brenda's like, there's mosquitoes. and we brought spray, but it was a moment. It was a moment. And so we've just joined with a beautiful family, and Cameron and Lauren, they make a great power couple. And Cameron's he's putting on major early, and he's in the Air Force. And I mean, so yeah, he's carrying out
a family legacy, Rick.
He really is. He really is, and he'll be a general officer. You know, he's flying around with generals and for his job in the military, and they do early warning and different things like that in the military, and so he's flying around with generals. And Lauren's a school teacher. She teaches teachers and how to teach, and I mean, she's able to do that remotely. And so she's just blessed, and Cameron's blessed, and I'm just so pleased, you know, with how things progressed and how things are going. Cameron's bought two homes, and you know, he's living in the one in Omaha, Nebraska. He bought one when he was stationed at Fort Collins in Colorado, and so. But they're just moving along. But they're on, you know, it's so beautiful when you can see people that are, especially family, that are moving along in pace, and they get it. You know, they get it. They understand. And they're syncing up in life. And now they're syncing up together. And they make such a beautiful couple, just a beautiful couple. So we had a good time. Tiring. We actually got an Airbnb home that we rented in Phoenix that had so much space. It had a pool. And we had people come over. We had a pool party on this past Sunday. It seems like forever ago. And we had hot dogs and hamburgers and just fun. And the family all came over. And Lauren and Cameron dropped in with us, you know, and visited us. And just a great time. It was sun. The weather was awesome. Over 78 degrees out there. And the kids were there. They just had a fun time in the pool. And at this Airbnb, they had the floaties there so the kids could float around. But the water was freezing. which I guess is good because it's hot in Arizona. So my brother Brian, who passed away this past August, his family made it. It was a family reunion. And my sister's kids, my two sisters passed away. My brother passed away. All their kids made it. All their kids made
wow.
it. So it was a family reunion. And my brother wanted to make it. And but he made it through his kids, and of course they're in spirit. And so his son, Adam, and they're Jewish. You know, my brother's family's Jewish,
uh-huh.
and his son Noah. I said, Noah, are you going to go in the water? And I said, yeah, let's go in the water. And so he and I, none of the adults actually went in the water because it was so cold, but we put on our swim trunks and he and I did a double jump in the water. And we said,
did you do a double jump out too?
What's that?
A double jump out.
You know, I don't mind. You know, it's one of those things that you brave for the moment. It's one of those things that you brave to cap. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things. You know, sports, military. It's one of those things that you brave for the moment. And the whole, so you can imagine, picture the whole family crowd and just around the pool and saying, okay, Noah and I saying, okay, count us down. And he's about maybe 13. He just had his bar mitzvah this past November. And he's about 13. And so I wanted to do something with him, I wanted to do something with him. And so we said, okay, let's jump in the pool. And the crowd, I said, count us down from five. And they did a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And everybody had their cameras ready. And I thought of for a second, and only a twinkling of an eye second, I don't want to do it. But, of course, you know, the river of no return, no return, no return. And we did. And everybody, you know, counted us down, and we went. And just jumped right in. Of course, it was okay. It was okay, but it reminded me of whitewater rafting. We went whitewater rafting, and they had a point where, you know, you could actually jump in the water, and we had probably hiked maybe a half a mile down, and then I don't know why, but I let the guide hike us a half a mile back up where we could jump in the water. And float down to where they were kind of just sitting around in an open beach area. And that was kind of part of the whole deal of whitewater rafting. And so I hiked back upstream, and I jumped in the water. There must have been maybe seven of us. And I jumped in at it one at a time. I jumped in the water, and the water was about as cold as this pool. And I had a wetsuit on. And I went under, and I felt the cold. And when I went under, I looked up, and I could see the sunlight. And, of course, I'm underwater. I could see the sun. And I thought to myself, why did you do this? It was too quick for the pool at the party, though, with the wedding, to think that. But it reminded me of that moment. Why did you do this? It was in the whitewater rafting moment. You know, I come up to the top, and, you know, the rapids are kind of taking us down and past where they were all sitting around on the beach. And I'm trying to swim over, and the rapids are going a little too fast for me to swim over. And I'm trying to swim over. And I'm seeing them come, and I'm seeing them go. And I didn't even know this. The guide had one of those rope things there with the knot on the end. And he swings it, and I'm going past him, and it hits me on the shoulder. I didn't even know he had it. And I'm like, look, a rope. And so I grab it, and everybody pulls me back. And I'm laying on the beach like a beach whale. But, no, we had a good time. We had a good time. But, you know, it's amazing how things come and go. It's amazing how time, that's why you have to take advantage of everything that, you know, is available to you, because soon the time will pass. And, of course, today's Travel Tuesday, And this was part of our experience and even going to the wedding. And it's a write-off. You know, the trip to Phoenix, the Airbnb, you know, they're business expenses. And we conducted a little bit of business while we were there. And that's what I love. And that's being able to take advantage of opportunity of everything that comes your way. But I got to say, at the reception, I actually got out there and I was dancing, Ron. And I had all the kids on the floor, and I'm trying to dance down to at their level. And I'm like, okay, can I get back up?
Wait a minute. Rick, you had practiced. You had just practiced those moves on the beach 2 weeks ago. I was with you. I saw you.
That's right. Now, Ron, you know, this is a lifestyle. You bring that up. Punta Cana 2 weeks ago. Arizona, and we'll be in Boston in April, and would have been in New Orleans in March, but it's a lifestyle, and you have to plan for the lifestyle. It doesn't just happen. You know, what really warmed my soul in Punta Cana is at the breakfast meeting, and I saw you coming over, and then, hey, because I hadn't seen you. And, you know, we were supposed to meet at the beach, you know, you and Linda and Brenda and I. And I hadn't seen you, but when I saw you walking, hey, where's... Of course, I had to say, where's your better half?
Well, you know,
you're married up.
That's called reunion, Rich. That's called reunion.
It's called reunion.
And you know what?
Reunion.
Our country, people, our brothers and sisters, those who are really, are, you know, flesh and blood family, and our brothers and sisters, that those who love the Lord, and our brothers and sisters that someday are going to know the Lord, and hopefully they'll love them too, but they need reunion in their life more than anything.
It's true.
And, you know, you just, the reason I wanted to ask you about the wedding, because I knew what you just did. You talk about me sometimes. You just painted a picture of joy and a refreshment and a renewing. You just did that. Everybody's on this call or who called, going to dial in and to listen to it in the recap, the archive that this will be saved on. And so the point is that what we're in the business of every single day of our life is to bring that refresh, renew, and restore. That's what we do. And we happen to have a tool. Most people use a tool to make some money, to pay a bill, to buy a car, to get a house, to put food on the table, to go. So why? So we can do it again tomorrow, so they can buy a car, buy a house, pay for the crew, go there. Why? So they can put some clothes in the back, so they can do that. And why? So they can keep doing that. And then sometime if they live long enough, take a vacation. What we do, Rick, is we ultimately provide the tool to change lives and bring joy, love, and eternity in their life every single day we live and breathe. And that's why what we're doing is so important, especially now when the world is blown up. Right around here, as you and I are sitting here today, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we were in a position as a country. We thought we had it. We thought we were back. We thought, okay, the world's going to be okay again. The world's safe. There's nobody shooting anybody. We're lowering down, winding down some wars, and things are safe, and the economy was good, and health was good. And out of nowhere, the enemy struck again. And now he's still striking. And the terrible thing is there's a lot of question marks. But the two
Here's
things
something,
that
Ron,
have,
though, that's good. Here's what's good, though. Out of every problem presents an opportunity.
Yeah.
And what I love about what we're doing is we're looking at every crisis presents an opportunity. You know, over time you look back at every, you can go all the way back even to, you know, our Savior nailed on the cross was represented an opportunity. And it's a perspective of seeing things. Even all the way back, in history. Every crisis represented a future opportunity. And even with the pandemic, it represents an opportunity for us today, you know, especially, I believe, in the largest industry on the planet, the travel industry, for people that were locked down. How can I assist them? How may I serve you? you want to go on a trip? You want to get out and see, you know, see the world, maybe just even see your state, your neighborhood. How can I assist you? And wealth is created when you offer a service. And so problems for me now represent a different way of thinking. You know, what is a solution that I have the ability within my reach to provide based on this problem, based on this opportunity that has presented itself? And multi-gazillionaires, millionaires are made after every crisis. And in fact, there were a ton of millionaires. I want to say, because I read somewhere, more millionaires were made during 2020, you know, than a little bit, because of what 2020 represented. And when you look at Amazon, and you look at all the different companies, and you look at all the new things, new solutions based on new problems, what problems do is shake things up. And it shakes up the status quo, and it provides opportunity for regular people that have vision and can see to get in the game, whereas the system kind of locked them out because of the routine of the system, and then a crisis comes, and it shakes them up. And you can't turn down opportunity. You can't turn back opportunity. You can't turn away opportunity. And we're at the greatest point, I believe, right now, coming on the post-pandemic. And, of course, kind of trying to drag it out, but you can't stop what you've let out the bag. You've opened up Pandora's box. You can't put it back in.
Tiger is loose. Rick, the tiger is loose.
The tiger is loose. And so now it comes down to, what tools do you have? What tools can you see that are available to you? You know, it's one thing when you don't know, but it's another thing when you know. And on this show, you know, with the Hope Collection and all the different areas, and you mentioned all the different areas that we support, we have tools, not just travel. We just talk travel on Tuesday. But we have tools. We have access to basically everything for a person who's looking for anything. And if you're looking, we have something for you. And what we're trying to do on this show is to stir up something on the inside that says, I want more, or I want to serve people, or something inside of you that is unfulfilled. We're looking for that. Now, hopefully you're looking for that, right? You're looking for that. And but if you have that and you say, hey, you know, Ron, Rick, folks on the show, folks in Hope, here's what I have as an idea of something that I wanna do, or a need that I want to feel. Here's my thoughts. And we will sit down with you and we will brainstorm with you. And I'll tell you what, we will come up with some solution as together we'll come up with something that you'll go, wow. Right, Ron? It happens all the time. This is our lifestyle. And this is the lifestyle that we have to offer to people, you know, to participate. And I love how Joel just reminds us, pay it forward. The thing that you have and you're holding so close to your vest right now, the gift that you have, the thing that you do better than anybody else without even trying, is your gift. And you start walking in your purpose. You pay it forward. You have the mentality, I'm going to pay this forward. What I have, I'm going to release. I'm not going to hold on to it, because life goes by so fast. And I'm going to release it, and I'm going to pay it forward. And I'm going to watch it get paid forward and forward and forward. And you initiate something like that, you are the catalyst right now to initiate, pay it forward. Don't hold on to it. So this weekend in the wedding, you're right, Ron, it was a reunion. It was a reunion. And And a lot of times, you know, funerals and weddings become reunions, and it probably shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it works out that way. Brenda, of course, mother of the groom, had a moment where at the dinner to say a few words. And so she had written out something when Cameron left for college back in 2009. And then when he first went away to college and we dropped him off, and you know, he had a car, so all the girls were happy. And but we dropped him off, and Brenda thought he was going to use the car to come home and see her, you know, every week, but he didn't. But when she dropped him off, and so she read this poem that she wrote back then and added a couple more things to it. But she goes through the story of where she dropped Cameron off for college. Oh, actually, when he was born, and how fast he grew up. And she has a part in there where, yeah, I taught him how to drive a stick, and then his dad comes behind me and teaches him how to drive as a race car driver, downshift, upshift, and make the noise. And I taught him with the noise. You make sure the engine goes, you know, that's how you drive a stick. And so he was driving the stick, leaning to the side. So she's saying that, and she brings him all the way up. And she says, you know, when I dropped him off for college, I was hoping that I taught him everything that he needed to know to survive. And so she's going over how to do his laundry and not put, you know, red in with white clothes. And did I teach him how to, you know, the balance his checkbook. Of course, now they've got Venmo and PayPal. And she's going through a number of different things. Did I teach him? Did I teach him how to handle pressure? Did I teach him how to be kind and considerate? You know, and she's just going through, you know, all the different things a mother would think about. And she's saying, in the little story, she says, as we dropped him off and drove away, She teared up as she was wondering, and that's when it went into the whole, did I teach him how to do this? Did I teach him how to do that? Did I teach him how to survive? Did I teach him how to make friends? And then she ends it up right. Oh, but I know he'll be okay because I taught him how to pray. Isn't that good?
Oh, you know, I want you to know something. I felt that moment, Rick. I felt like I was there, and I'm watching Brenda share this with her eyes, looking down at her son. I can just see her doing that. I can just see her where she has such wisdom. She has such confidence, and she is so competent. And she's like that in her friendships along with her family. You can see that. And that's what makes her so special. I'm just telling you, you guys, it's just amazing. I'm so glad this show.
I taught him how to pray, Ron. He could do anything because I taught him how to pray. That was my single job because that gives access to everything. Wow. And everybody went, oh, wow.
Yeah,
well, even me.
Some guys can say the same for their kids, and that's just really neat. That just so speaks so much about you guys, and the privilege that we have to be able to share in those moments are so special, Rick. And I thank you for doing that in this. That's cool. By the way, I do have an announcement for you. You did not miss a board meeting. The board meeting is this Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Oh, awesome. Great.
I'm hoping that we'll have a Zoom meeting. It won't be Zoom. It's going to be Talk Fusion. I just this afternoon when I got to get a new phone. I'm on Linda's. My phone died. And so I'm using Linda's phone today. And so you were gone. Linda held a groovy 70 swing out party.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
And my sister and brother-in-law were just incredible. They're the ones that just came back from the cruise. They went to Joy and Fabrics and bought fabric, and she made out of their jeans. She bought an insert to make bell-bottom jeans. My brother-in-law was dressed up in a red Hawaiian shirt with a red, white, and with an American 1974 8-inch wide tie. Remember the tie? They came to do the part. Now, Lynn and I, the only way we could figure out to be ready for the 70s party, by the way, it was 70s party because it was my 70th birthday. But anyways.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
She looked up and there was a kit to make tie-dye shirts. Said, we're not going to make a mess. We haven't done that since the 70s. I said, we went
down tie-dye shirts.
We bought a couple tie-dye t-shirts. And with some beads.
Oh, that's awesome.
I went to the Dollar Tree, and we couldn't get, you know, like the beads that we used to have during the 70s. So we got Mardi Gras beads. It looked like
close
Mardi
enough.
Gras. But we had a horrible winter cold storm. We still had a great turnout, and it was just a real blessing. Had some great things. People that came, and it was, and I was thinking about you guys because I knew how special this particular wedding.
I would have came as Link with the big fro and one of those things, a tie, you know, with the psychedelic thing in the fro.
Dale Martin came across. He wears a hat. He's like you, you know. He has a very special hairdresser look, and he wore his debonair hat, you know. And he had a fur, short men's fur coat on.
Oh, Superfly.
Superfly, yeah, he came to Superfly. And, you know, so it was just a wonderful, I haven't had a birthday party in 20 years. So you don't have
I know, right?
Day when you do it. So, anyways, it just turned out for us. And we had the whole, on Friday night and Saturday morning all day, we had gone to a marriage conference that in 47 years we'd never gone to one. I mean, there's been, you know, every year some church we belonged to, we had a marriage conference. We don't need a marriage conference. We're okay. And, you know, the funniest thing was we were there, and we ended up being the oldest married couple there.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
They recognize us. But I'll tell you what, the seminar itself was held by a pastor that's on nationwide. He's been on a couple of crusade group. Pastoring from evangelism. There was a live webinar that we tapped into it, but it was incredible. It was really, really good, and we laughed most of the time. But the person that took care of the gal that catered it was the pastor's wife. We did nothing but Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, do nothing but eat and laugh. But it was a blast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when we got done, then we had to come home and prepare for the party Saturday night here. And
that's a full day.
Yeah, it was. And so our weekend was full. And then in the midst of this, we're working on getting the next phases of the Jobonomics programs going, which is moving forward. I bring that up because this is part of the Hope Collection. What we've done, and as the president of a new board, we're having our board meeting Monday night, and you'll get a new updated invite. I sent out a note just asking to each board member to kind of present a little viewpoint of their position that they've accepted being working with. And I know you said faith. I did have a question. I know I'm asking this online. I'm not putting you on the spot, but what I've done is I've divided up the organizations that are not necessarily part of the Hope Collection relationship, but that we would partner with. And so I wanted to ask you, I'd like to officially list and have it recognized from day, I'll call it day one, the Marketplace Ministries as a partner with the Hope Collection.
You know, I think that's a great idea because that really brings a focus to when you say faith and of course, a business focus and a marketplace ministry focus. And so not to be limited to that, but to include it. And so I believe that's a fantastic idea. Because for me, that is something that's huge. And just even understanding marketplace ministry, understanding the seven mountains and the need right now for the church to stand up. And I mean, especially in the understanding of the seven mountains, to not just be locked down in the mountain of faith, the mountain of church, but to realize that God has given you authority over all of it. And I think it's a great platform to get that message out. You know, we know the basics of course, salvation and evangelism and all the things that we do in church. And you and I are Gideons, and so that really drives a lot of it home and being forward in, you know, and putting out Bibles and doing the different things like that. And the church has a basic understanding of that. But I believe that shift, along with that understanding, is the authority that we have in the marketplace. And really
the
demonstrating
the road, Rick.
That
the
authority.
Rubber meeting the road.
Where the rubber meets the road. That's an excellent way to put it. Because that has been missing. And it hurts my heart sometimes to see a lot of times how poor the church is when there's wealth all around and just being able to even recognize the businessmen and women that are within the church and to empower them and to encourage them to say, hey, you know, it's time. Lord, prosper their business for your purpose and for kingdom building and to go out with the spirit of Joshua and Caleb out into that big old world and slay those giants and bring back those luscious grapes, working with our pastors, you know, it's wealth transfer, but being empowered to do that, you know, and that's one of the things. So I know it's a great, great combination. So, yeah, I believe that's a good idea, Ron.
Okay. So I'll be sharing. I'll be sending out. I have it right in front of me here, and I'll be sending out that announcement. But I did. I actually sent out an email before you left to every board member, just being prepared to talk about your area that you're working in,
not limited to what, of course, you know, we're doing with Marketplace Ministry, but the things that Joel was doing, the things that Joel was supporting. You know, before he found out about what I was doing with Marketplace Ministries, to be all inclusive of all of that. And that will be the challenge of prayer and saying, okay, what is that big picture going forward that includes all of it,
yeah,
with Marketplace Ministry being just a segment of it?
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate your acceptance and your enthusiasm and your partnership. It's going to be cool. So I have that will be sent out with you. It'll be an email and then a link. It operates like Zoom. You just go to a site, you click onto it, and then you'll be on. And I've just got to fix up and fine-tune a couple things on my end, so that'll operate at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. And so that'll be in your hands. Well, the invite should be there today sometime. But we could talk some more about that. But I wanted to, and I'm not, you know, this is the Hope Collection phone call, and you are a board member of the Hope Collection. And I thought, why not let everybody know how important that I believe you and what you represent and what you stand for utilizing Marketplace Ministries. That's not just singly a business concept, but it's a life concept. And so we hold that in fact, when I describe what the Hope Collection is, the first pillar I talked about of what the Hope Collection is faith. Number one, a lot of people, like, they want to reorganize it depending on who they're talking to. I never back off putting faith first. Because you know something, Rick? If faith doesn't come first in everything we do, I don't want to be a part of it.
Likewise.
So those who want to be a little shrinking violet, we're not, and I tell people too, I'm not politically correct. There's no such word in God's book.
You know, and you're absolutely right, though, because it's all about development as well and purpose. And so Marketplace Ministry is not just business, but it's identifying your purpose and walking in your purpose, and which is your spiritual authority. Once you understand the vision and your purpose, you're walking in spiritual authority so that as the enemy comes and tries to pull you to the right and pull you to the left, you know, it's like, no, get out of my way. You're going.
That's
you have
right.
Your destination that you're going. get behind me, Satan, but you've got your spiritual authority. And then, of course, what mountain are you assigned and being trained to climb, the seven mountains? And so it puts this journey of life into a perspective, and where it's not as serious. You're being trained mountain climbing. You're being trained, and you're overcoming things, and you're getting the victory in different areas, and it's highlighting where you're getting the victory. And then the third thing is, what is the vision, the marketplace authority that you're walking in? Is that vision that you've seen, that God has shown you, shows you the end from before the beginning, and you walk it out. Albert Einstein says, your imagination is a preview of life's coming attractions. What did you see? And we're saying, write this down in a journal, because you're going someplace, and this is going to represent a milestone, a stopping, the beginning point, a marking point. From here, let's go, and let's live. And so it becomes pretty exciting, but it takes, like you said, it brings it to where your life meets the road, you know, rubber meets the road, and now you're on a journey, and you're going somewhere, and you're looking for those life milestones. And the enemy, of course, this is all in the context of understanding spiritual warfare and how to fight in spiritual warfare through resting in the Lord. But it brings it all into a perspective that a person has, and it's a perspective of living. And, you know, we've learned this growing up in the church, but it takes it to another level of understanding and action. And because we all know, we've all learned, we all have ideas, we all have beliefs, we all have, you know, faith, and this is the application, like you said, Ron, where the rubber meets the road. Not in a bad way, not in a threatening way, not even necessarily in a challenging way, but in a knowing way.
It's going forward way.
In a going forward, not staying still. That's so true, Ron. You know, most people are standing still in their faith in that cold pool water. And, you know, that water was so cold, Ron. Typically, normally, you put your feet in the water, and your body gets used to it. No. It just got colder and colder. I think it's gonna freeze. Like jumping into the Arctic, you know. You know, you see them, the Polar Club. It wasn't that bad, but it was good. But yeah, we're on to something here, and. And one of the things that's interesting in understanding marketplace ministry and that I really, really love is the fact that, Father, bless my business, praying with an intention. Lord, bless my business to fulfill what you've called me to do. And it's going to shift the responsibility to him where it should be. You know, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And so where people were getting so frustrated and so, and having heart attacks and this, that, body breaking down, now we're shifting that responsibility to the one who can handle it. And we shift it, Father, you've called me to do this purpose, to walk in this spiritual authority. Lord, you've called me to climb and take dominion of the high places on this mountain. Lord, you've called me in marketplace, in the market to walk in the authority of the marketplace with this vision that must be fulfilled. You know, you must fulfill this vision. And when you walk with that authority and that knowing, Father, I can only do it if you do it. You know, whatever I need to know, whatever timing I'm going to rest in, I'm not going to have fear. And walking into the unknown, normally people want to know, but where the thing that you seek is actually in the unknown. And I'm going to walk in the unknown knowing that you will work the details for me. I'm going to let go and let God. And that's the marketplace ministry. But it's to transfer wealth, Lord. We need wealth so that the people on this call with their business, whatever that thing is, if they're a business person, if they're an entrepreneur, if they're a painter, creative, whatever their thing is, Father, multiply it so they can be freed up to do what you've called them to do, that they are saying they now know that you've called them to do this. Use this business tool to free them up to do it. Use this business tool to create a pipeline of wealth so for us to go into the community and to affect change in the community. And you protect this pipeline of wealth using this business tool or that gift. The gift is your source of value. Your gift is the thing that makes the money. The person doesn't make the money. Your gift draws and makes the money. Use this tool, Lord, to spread your gospel around the world. And so it's a wealth transfer for the building of the kingdom. That is huge. And that's where we are right now. You know, not just kind of twiddling our fingers and thumbs and just kind of pacing time. No. This is like where you said, Ron, the rubber meets the road and getting on down the road. Like you told me, get her done, son.
Feet don't fail me now.
Feet don't fail me now. Hey, that's a 70s thing, you know, with the Richard Pryor little, you know, feet don't fail me now. Hey, Ron, I know your party was awesome. I would have been there.
I know that. And I knew what you were celebrating was so important. And I was so, you know, the timing and everything just was really, really great to know that you were able to do what you were doing. And I'm just glad for that. Like, I really am.
Yeah, it was good. It was a life. It's one of those things that makes you realize how life as a river just keeps moving. I was reading something the other day. It says you'll never step into the same place in the river ever again. You can't step into the same place twice in a river because it continually moves. Life is continually moving, and you'll never step into the same place in life ever again because those conditions will never. When I was out at the cabin, Ben and I was out at the cabin last year, they have the mountains, and I walked out on the pier, and I looked up at the mountains, and I'm a photographer, and I see things, and you know, I see moments, and there was a moment that the mountaintop was so golden, and there was a reflection of that golden mountaintop in the water as I was standing on the pier. I mean, it was just like perfect reflection. The gold mountaintop, the sun hit it in just a way that it was just golden, and it reflected in the water. And I took the picture. And I was, they had mentioned it at the wedding here. I said, Rick, you know, when the father of the bride got up and spoke and he gave his little talk to the bride, he mentioned that picture. Because we actually took that picture and put it on a canvas and sent it to them. And like a 12 by 18, 16 by 18 inch canvas, and we sent it to them. And because it was just that kind of a moment. And I normally don't sign pictures, but I actually signed this one. Actually signed it. And, but, you know, because it captured, I put a date on it. It captured a moment. And I was talking to Trace this weekend, the bride's father, and we was talking about that picture. And about that moment. And I said, you know what, Trace, that moment will never exist ever again of the moment that I took that picture and the angle that the sun was shining and how it hit the water and how the water was kind of flowing. That was a moment in time that was captured. Every single person in their life has to look at those moments and capture those moments. Even if, like we was talking opportunity, you know, the opportunity comes, but if you don't capture the opportunity, it flows right by you. And there again, you miss another chance, you miss another opportunity, you know. And that's what life is all about, is being able to, the significance of life for me is being able to recognize the opportune times that flow in front of us and to be able to capture it just even just to move a little bit, but to capture that moment to for some kind of change to happen, even if it's the smallest of change. I had a chance to talk to my my nieces and nephews and the young kids. I mean, you know, they were like maybe 12.
Uncle Rick had, you had like the pastor's moments with the kids at the front of the church. I could just picture you sitting there and all the kids around the table, young and old, leaning over with their ears straining to hear every word you say, Rick. I could just picture
well,
that.
Well, I got to tell you, it was that, but it was mostly them talking. They are so articulate. Ron, it blew me away how articulate these kids were and how what they had to say. And I was mostly listening. And I talked a little bit, but I was mostly listening. And the articulation in these kids, it absolutely blew me away. My niece's kids, they play soccer and they go over to the Netherlands, and they play soccer. I mean, they're that good. And they was telling me about their experiences, and they're maybe 10, you know, 10, 11, and in those ages. And they were just telling me about their experiences over in the Netherlands and playing soccer. And I'm just sitting there. I must have listened for at least maybe 2 hours. and but they captured those moments. These kids even. They were telling me the moments that they had, and you could tell it affected them, and they've grown in how they can explain it and teach it. And so I'm just saying all that to say there's moments in our lives, and our lives kind of flow as a river. Are we capturing the key moments, even us on this show, Ron? You know, the things that we share, you know, Monday through Friday, and I believe we do Saturday also, but with a Lynn Kane and the things that he presents and his history as Top Gun and airline pilot and, you know, the Peace Prize? What's that? Nobel Peace Prize nominee, but 6 times now. But the wisdom, you know, are we capturing the wisdom of the moments of our lives? And not only are we capturing them, but what are we doing with it, the information, with that knowledge now? Does it just go in one ear and out the other? Or do we put it to use? We talk about travel. I mean, we met in Punta Cana, you know, a couple of weeks. I mean, we had a family reunion in Punta Cana mm-hmm. now a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks ago. And we had a family reunion on a cruise ship where we were up on the bridge. And looking at this whole in front of us, how they steer the ship, this cruise ship with, you know, 2,000 plus people on board. You know, these experiences. And of course, when we got to Cozumel, I'm sitting there with Joel. Can you imagine? I'm sitting there with Joel and Lynn Kane. And our wives are on the other side. And I'm just listening to them. Right? And the stories. These are moments. Everybody that's listening to us right now, we have moments. What do you do with those moments? Is it dead space? Are they dead ends? Are they moments that contribute as tributaries in a river to other moments that flow somewhere to some person, you know, to provide a service to some person, you know, as a tributary. These moments are tributaries that flow and build to flow somewhere. Where are they flowing? Joel will say they're flowing to provide service, helping others by helping others help others, you know, and keeping that pain going, paying that forward. And I am committed to observing as I can the moments that are pointed out to me. Brendan and I was talking about some of the pictures that we didn't take. Well, we should have had Grandpa with so-and-so and this person and that person. And I'm like, man, it didn't come to mind. You can't do something that has not come to mind. You know, you can think about it afterwards. Oh, we should have paired this person up with that person. I should have got a picture with you and da da da. But if it doesn't come to mind, but on the other hand, if it comes to mind and you miss a moment, that's another story. You know, all the things that we share, Ron, the wisdom that you share on this show, you know, if it's bringing to mind something, and the listeners and the people on the show, What do they do? What do you do with information? And so in thinking back and with these kids, they have, I mean, it's amazing how they absorb information. One of my niece's daughter, she was the flower girl. I guess she's probably maybe 10 or 9 or 10. And so at the reception, we were dancing. And so she was dancing with this older lady on the dance floor. And the older lady was just dancing really good. And my niece's daughter was on the dance floor, and she was dancing, basically doing everything that the lady was doing. And she's not a dancer. And so afterward, I mean, she's just like spinning and looking at her and dancing and doing all the different moves. And as a little girl and the woman's dancing. And so afterwards we were talking, and the lady comes over and says, "That little girl was challenging me. I had to really step up my game." "That little girl was challenging me." And so I thought about that, and then I thought about it that night afterwards, and I said, she really actually wasn't challenging you because she doesn't know how to dance. She was mimicking you, which is different. Isn't that something? She was mimicking her. And
we're
going to
use the children. We're going to use the children to compound the wives.
That's Country Boy.
Yeah, but she said she was challenging me. I said, but I didn't get a chance to tell her because I didn't think about it until afterwards. And I said, but then I knew that the girl is so shy. The little kid's so shy. She doesn't know how to dance. But she went into this other zone and was mimicking her. And all of her moves and her face changed. The little girl, her face changed as she was watching and she was staring because she was repeating everything the lady was doing. The lady thought she was challenging her because she was right on her with every move. And I thought, she doesn't even know how to dance. I thought that was so interesting. Mimics. Kids are mimics. They do what they see us do.
Rick, I was on the bus.
Go ahead.
But while you're talking about kids, Brenda and Rick flew down to Georgia, several years back to work with me and AtlantaChildren.org. That day it was 92 degrees, and Rick then wasn't scheduled to talk until about 4 o'clock that evening. But the kids had missed lunch for some reason, and the swimming pool was down, so they didn't get a chance to swim that afternoon around 1 or 2 o'clock. But when we came in, the instructor gave us his kids, about 40 of them, and left. He said, "Here, Rick." Hey, Rick, let me just stop right there. Y'all was doing so well. Rick, tell just a little bit of that story, because these kids were smart. Rick, they was following right along. And at one portion, Rick had to tell the grown people to sit down and hush and let the kids do the answer, because the adults was trying to come in and take over what the kids had already started talking about.
Well, we only have like two minutes, but we use Surge as an educational tool to take the kids on a journey from Atlanta, a virtual journey from Atlanta to the zoo in Washington, the Washington Zoo. And we showed them on the plane. We showed them how they would book their travel. We actually took them on a plane. They thought they were on a plane. And we went through the whole altitude we're flying at. And so we used the whole travel thing as a lesson, educational tool. And we landed in Washington, and we rented a van. So we're showing them and teaching them travel just virtually. And so we get them to the zoo. We take them from the van. We drive by the White House, and so we're teaching them the different monuments. And this is how a teacher can actually use Surge in the classroom. So we get to the zoo, and I start flashing up pictures of the animals, and say, "Name the animal." And what Country Boy is saying, the adults who were in the room were pretty much overriding the kids because they flashed back to when they had their zoo experience. And so the kids were there, "That's a orangutan, that's a giraffe, that's a tiger." And the adults were like beating them to it. And so we had them talk about their zoo experience. But we used Surge, you know, and I said we could use Surge in the classroom to take kids to any location and at the same time teaching them geography, teaching them, you know, all the different subjects, math, all weaving it all in. And it's only just a travel business. Back to you, Country Boy.
No, I was just enjoying listening to and Ron and Dave, so I'm going to go ahead and put my phone back on mute. Y'all go ahead and finish up the show, Ron. It's good to hear both of y'all's voices.
We had their complete attention the entire time. The kids were glued. Over to you, Ron.
Well, I want to thank everybody today for coming on the show, and we're taking a step at a time every day, moving closer to the mark. I press towards the mark, that's what Paul said, and that's what we're doing. And we're a team of people with a mission. And we're letting our light show on the hill and glorifying Father who's in heaven. And I thank you for today, everybody in the show today. Talk to you later. Rick, I do need to chat with you later. And we have a meeting a meeting with Chuck Holmer, right, tomorrow morning?
I haven't seen I haven't checked my email.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet. If that's there, I'm there. Okay,
he rescheduled
perfect.
It with you.
Perfect.
So I think I got a copy of it. It's on my phone, but my phone's down right now. So, okay, guys.
Okay,
so
I'm sure I've got it.
Say. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, God bless you.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, Country Boy, too.